Welcome to the Data Strategy Show, 66 Questions, Data Leaders Unplugged. I'm your host, Samir Sharma, and I'm delighted to have Abel Abbo on the show today as my guest. Abel has an energy that oozes from him, and he says that he was born in Nigeria and made in the UK. He defined himself as trustworthy and being a lovable soul. That's the first time a data leader has talked about how we need to love more and hate less. An avid documentary watcher and lifelong learner, he's always looking at how to do things differently from a perspective of diversity and understanding of people. He has a suitcase of ambition and a lust for life, family, and music. Abel is currently the external engagement lead, transforming data collection program at the Bank of England, part of the data management team responsible for developing, embedding, and delivering the bank's data and analytics strategy in a rapidly changing world. He's a board member in one of the leading colleges in Scotland, is passionate about data, technology, AI, social mobility, education, environmental, social and governance, ESG, diversity and inclusion. I do hope you enjoy this episode. Please like, share and comment and enjoy listening to Abel. Behind every data leader, there is a person, and here is Abel Unplugged.
Abel Abbo, thank you so much for coming onto the Data Strategy Show, Data Leaders Unplugged, and of course, 66 questions. Abel, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you so much, Sammy. It's been a long, long time journey trying to get us to talk more.
Yes.
I think I'm loving it. Thank you so much. I hope you had a good Christmas and a good break as well yourself.
Oh, gosh, I can't even remember Christmas now. It seems so far away.
Yeah, quite a while.
But yes, I mean, it was good. It was a good break. Yeah. And yourself?
I did actually, apart from the flu, but January. January has been really crazy.
I don't know where it's gone.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. A couple of days from now, that's okay behind us.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, wow.
Sooner or later, we'll be talking about Easter holidays and every other thing else that happened. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, look, Abel, we are gonna start 66 questions. Rapid fire. Here we go. Abel, what's your wake-up ritual?
Wow. I wake up, look at my phone. I would say that I'm addicted to it. But
okay.
Just looking at it basically just helped me to catch up what has happened the last 8 hours I was sleeping.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot happens. A lot happens. You'd be surprised. An hour just not looking at your phone, you'd be surprised at stuff. So I do that and then obviously do my quiet time and all that and just plan my day. Yeah.
Yeah, good, good. Oh. What would you say is your biggest strength?
Wow. I think for me, it's just being able to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
Connect with people, just be myself, connect with people and just be supportive where I can. And I think it's really, really important. I want to like to see myself as people person. What that simply means is not because you have to get along with everyone, but make the effort to get along, to get to know people, have new experience as well. Yeah,
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. What's the biggest learning experience you've had?
Wow, I think that's a great question. For me, I think it's all about stepping out of comfort zone. That's my, if you want to really experience something new, a few minutes ago, I was in the Holocaust Memorial, day event as well, just new information. And if you find yourself in new places, you get new information.
Mm-hmm.
And information is power. When you apply information and knowledge, you get loads of wisdom. So
I think
it's something that you've got to do. And I try to do that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Are there any hobbies that you will never give up?
Absolutely. Listening to music and my podcast as well.
And oh, Spotify. Fantastic.
I've asked Spotify less than £10. Now it's about £16. And I'm addicted to it. I'm a junkie on that basis. I can't give up my Spotify subscription.
Yeah.
You know, but listening to music just helps me a lot.
Yeah.
But also just sourcing out information, new information.
Yes.
So Wikipedia for me is a great, great thing. I can click from one link to another, just to build a picture. So
I like that. And there's some questions about music later on. So that'll be good to know. What makes you angry?
Oh, that's a great one. I think for me, what makes me angry is just when people are not really pulling their weight. But at the same time, not pulling their weight because they just don't believe in themselves. They don't believe that they can actually do it. So I'm just a catalyst. Not really make me angry. I try to understand why and then try to see what I can do to support. Angry is an emotion sometimes that is quite, can be quite wasteful, but I try to turn that into the right thing. You know, rather than being angry, I want to understand why and then see what I can do. So less likely, you know, on a good day, on a year, I get angry. Just few very odd, but also airports as well. Airports make me angry. Security, airport security. Airport security makes me angry. But sometimes I don't take it upon heart. The people that work there.
I know.
You know, but
know.
Airport security get me angry, if you want to know. Yeah.
Let's not go there. That's a long diatribe. That would be. Do you have a first memory of life?
I do, actually. I do. For me, just hanging out with my siblings as well, growing up, you know, my journey has been quite incredible. Not born in the island in terms of the UK, but, you know, find myself in the UK. But, yeah, just hanging out with my siblings and, you know, and just catching up and everything as well. So
and having
that's
fun
my best memory,
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. What are you most excited about these days?
Wow, I think change. Change. I'm absolutely most excited about change. We're in this place where, you know, 2.1, if you're a data person, I'll say that we've got this opportunity right now to transform. Yep. And it's great that we can start pushing up things like AI, but start pushing up data literacy as well. So change is awesome. Transformation at the back of that is absolutely, it does excite me. For me, my heart look is pretty much transformation and change. Those things really excite me. Yeah.
Wonderful. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
I think connecting with people. And almost people saying that, you know, you say the things I wanted to say, but I didn't have a word to say it in a better way. I think for me, that's good, because then what I'm trying to do is to give people the tools for them to articulate themselves. And I think that's really, really great.
Great. Is there a cause that is important to you?
Yes. Oh, education. Education. I believe it's a great, great social mobility. It's a great mobilizer. It's a great gateway. Education. It's really important.
Absolutely. What makes you smile the most?
Yeah, just seeing people strive, seeing people win.
Yeah.
You know, seeing people getting along. Forget about the hate and all that. Just getting along. You know, we're all different, we're all unique, but we've got so much that we can bring to the table.
I agree.
Absolutely. And,
we can offer,
and the party is really, really nice if you've got different people in the party.
Oh,
so,
yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
It does make me smile.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Now, this is something about, you know, do you have a secret talent that no one else knows about? I mean, obviously, after this, they will, but...
They will, though. I enjoy doing my ironing in terms of my shirts and all
my goodness,
it's therapeutic.
You are like me. You are
it's
like
therapeutic.
Me.
I can Uber as well if you get me a really good, you know, not just Dyson, but I think it called again, the big one, the red big one as well. You know, I can Uber as well. I do enjoy it at all. I'm not
fantastic.
Complain.
Brilliant. I love that, because I am such a stickler for having the crease on my shirt. And it was my father who said, you must have a single crease. And, you know,
guess what? I go into the shop and I got what we call the starch.
Yes. You know, I used to use starch.
Absolutely.
I used to.
I buy them in dozens as well. And keep them as well. So if you take my starch, you finish it. You need to replace it.
I used to have bottles of them on the shelf.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. If you weren't doing what you are doing now, what would you be doing?
Footballer. I played football a lot, but I decided to go down the education path. And it's great to see now football, actually, people can make a lot, you know, for their lives and families as well. But back in the days, it wasn't the case. So people used to say, I got a footballer's leg. You know, there's a guy called JJ Okocha, almost like that. I chose to do the education part because I think education is a gateway, and that's what I chose.
And what position did you play?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
What position? What position did you play?
I'm a striker.
Fantastic.
Yeah, striker.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What are three things that you can't live without?
Ooh, my music. My music, Spotify, I would say that. You know, internet, you know, and just family, you know, family and friends. Can't live without those three things. My music is important. You know, it's quite therapeutic. It's hyper busy life and all that as well. You need something to chew on, calm you as well. You know, playlists from Raindrops as well that help me sleep at night when
Everything. Sleeping. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, yeah, just three things for me really does help. Yeah.
Great. What fictional character would you want to be?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I started kind of like getting into the Wakanda thing. I must say, you know, I'm pretty much on the Wakanda side, to be honest. And it's just a blessing to have to experience that, you know, growing up with Batman, growing up with, you know, Spider-Man, you know, getting the comic books as well, drawing comic, you know, characters. But having Wakanda at the moment, I think Wakanda for me. And Wakanda
That's great.
Forever.
I love that. And
Wakanda
I can't wait.
Forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to see the new one on the 1st of February. I think it comes onto Disney. My daughter loves it. We actually sat down and watched it a couple of weeks ago again. So she really does love that. What's the last show that you binge watched?
Oof, I just finished what's it called again? FIFA. Corruption.
Oh yes.
And I think it was quite a great one because just seeing those personalities, how far they came to where they came to the limelight, what happened. Just understanding that these are ordinary people that wants to make a difference, but also sometimes system can change them and transforming as well. And all the politics that happen and the big P, the big P, the small P. So yeah, it's I do watch documentaries. I need to watch something, it has to be something I can gain from. That's my first principle. That's my first
I've still got to watch that actually. I'm going through the Stephen Madoff at the moment, so
I finished that. But I mean, obviously, I read the story, but the FIFA one, I've not really fully understood it.
Okay.
But also, just what football play and the role football play in society is a very powerful thing.
Yes.
So so that was a good one. Yeah. I recommend it for anyone to watch.
We'll definitely watch it now. What's the most adventurous thing you've done in your life?
Woof. Coming out to the UK. I tell you what, I can remember it's ages ago, but coming out to UK, no warrant, just coming out to UK, just with loads of truck of ambition, you know, suitcase of ambition.
And tell me, where did you come from?
I'm from Nigeria. Absolutely. Born and raised in Nigeria. But came out to the UK to study as a young boy, you know, and you just, you know, it's just been a roller coaster experience, a massive experience. So I was born in Nigeria, but made in the UK. So I've got the flag now, you know. Yeah.
I say the same thing. I was born in Kenya, but made in the UK.
That's my story.
And are you from Lagos or?
No, I'm from the Niger Delta part. So Delta part is what we call the riverine area where you've got loads of oil. Yes. But also, you know,
is that the southern?
Yeah, the southern part, as well. Lagos
south,
is also
sort of
southern.
Southeast, right?
Yeah. So the south. This Lagos is the south, but the south part as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no.
Just across the Atlantic and all the rest, the Gulf of Guinea and all the rest of them. So my great parents would be people that would deal with the Portuguese and, you know, people coming through the boat as well, through the ship as well. They would be the first people to interact with them and their fishermen. You know, so it's quite wild out there, but but that's my history, that's my heritage.
Yeah, no, I've been to Nigeria, I've been to Lagos, Abuja. I loved it. Unbelievable. We can have a conversation about that later, but it was amazing. Yeah. How would you define yourself in three words?
Trustworthy, bold, and lovable.
Wonderful.
And I think lovable. I think those are the three things I want to really as a brand that wants to ship me. Trustworthy, just having enough for people to trust you, because when people trust you, they can work with you and you can do things together. You need to collaborate, and trust is
absolutely
so essential. You know,
absolutely.
Lovable, I think for me, is necessarily the fact that you've got to keep the hate and get to that point about what love can heal and transpire as well. And I think for me, you know, those things really shape me a lot, and that's things I really want to carry on in my legacy.
Absolutely agree. Great. What's the biggest surprise you've had this year?
Ooh, the biggest surprise. That's a great one. That's a great question. I just sort of step into a new kind of space at the moment. But just seeing how the space work, I think that's a great time. Without going into detail, but just seeing how the space work. But also just seeing the opportunities as well. Opportunities. Sometimes you're called to lead things, but you do recognize that things might not be fully put together, but your role is to lead it and shape it. But I think you just got to take it as an opportunity while you're seeing it. Sometimes you can criticize it, but also you can see it as an opportunity and turn it around. So that's the greatest, my biggest surprise. Yeah.
Fantastic. Is there anything that is currently inspiring you in the data world right now?
Yeah, I think just, you know, I mean, I'm not going to talk about AI, but technology, but I'm not going to talk about that. But I think data literacy, the foundation, you know, there's a requirement that we need to, from a data perspective, we need to collaborate with other, what I call societies, gatekeepers. So media, you know, televisions, name them, other parts as well, work with them to expand this thing called data, because the data profession is massive. You know, and we've got young people trying to come in as well, even older people wanting to come. So we've got this opportunity to work with other gatekeepers and shape it so that people can understand when we talk about data and data management, people understand that, and that can filter through society.
Yep.
So data literacy is a great, great thing that excites me, you know, data literacy and include data strategy, maturity, and all those good stuff as well.
Wonderful. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I think for me, just be myself, you know, be myself. You know, people said to me, don't try and be no one else.
Yeah.
Be myself. And earlier in my career in data, someone said to me, Abel, don't go through technology. Don't, you know, at that point in time, there's a good technology. People want to learn it and do it. He said, no, know the foundation.
Yeah.
Know about that thing, the foundation, how to
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
And once you know how to do it, it doesn't matter what technology. And those technology at that point in time, IBM was one of the top leaders then. I think now you've got the Informaticas, they've come and I think it just shows people as well, if you know the foundation, whatever technology, you can apply that as well.
Absolutely.
Deal with people, because people are still unique and they're still focused. They're the central in the world of data. So know how to relate with people and deal with people.
I totally agree with that. Do you remember the moment your career completely changed?
Yeah, that was over a decade ago. So I worked for a company called BAE Systems. I'm joined as an HR. So just to let you know, I studied human resource.
Okay.
My first degree is HR. My second degree is HR. I went to Strathclyde Business School. I worked in HR for a couple of years. But then I was passionate about technology, data, and all that, and see what I can do.
Yeah.
And then I had the opportunity of a transformation program to come in and do data management. And I chose that, and I think it's just been phenomenal. But not staying in data itself, but doing other things in the business, you know, not just your data person, you're just data, you're doing other things in the business.
You,
you know, it could be HR, it could be operations, it could be engineering, it could be other stuff. Find yourself in all the pockets of what are called domains or functions, and still use your data capability to support the business. I think that's really powerful.
What makes you feel accomplished?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think for me, accomplishment means different things to different people. For me personally, just the same people move the dial, just move the dial, you know, in the right direction. Yeah. For me, that's it. The dial could move faster, it could move slower, but moving it in the right direction, that's for me, that's accomplishment. So I don't try to overcomplicate it as well, but just seeing people progress, growth. Growth for me, it's also,
I think it's
something that inspires me, and it's also an accomplishment as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a wonderful thing. What three words describe living in the UK?
Wow, that's a great question. I think for me, living in the UK is opportunity.
Yep.
Opportunity, innovation.
Uh-huh.
Innovation, and you just have to have, you know, a thick skin as well.
Yep, yep. That's very
true. You know,
true.
So those are the three things, you know.
Yeah.
You know, opportunity, innovation, and you have to have a thick skin.
Thick skin.
No one is going to give you a free lunch.
Agreed.
You know, no one is going to give you a free lunch.
Agreed.
You've got to work your socks off.
Yep.
You know, to get that lunch and heat it and share with other people and keep the door open.
Yep. Now, over to your Spotify. What's heavily played on your music playlist right now?
I can go all the way to Cuba Classic to all the way to, I've got Afrobeat, there, you know, I've got all sorts. You know, my Spotify, I've got, like, to be honest, about 40 play other lists.
Yes.
You know, from jazz, coffee music. I'm just creating at the moment called coffee music. These are music that you're going to cafes and all that, and you listen to. So I've got that as well. So Yeah, but I think...
Who's your favorite Afrobeat artist or band?
Wow, I think I would say Burna Boy at the moment. Burna Boy, he's really doing great things at the moment, globally as well.
Okay.
Globally, that is quite strong. I mean, you've got all the Wizkid, the Davido, you know, the Temi, the Asha, you know, the olders, Yemi Alades, you know, the Tiwa Savage, you know, there are loads of them. There are loads of them back in the days as well, the Mohi guys, but they really, really honed their craft, and now it's quite a global export. And
wonderful.
It's interesting to see that. Yeah.
I'm gonna look. I'm like you. I have such a wide range of different music. So I will definitely put that on my playlist now. What three things are at the top of your bucket list?
Ooh, that's a great question. Bucket list. I want to really go into Jerusalem. I want to go into Jerusalem, speak in the Middle East as well.
Yeah.
Get to understand that. I've vastly traveled in Europe, so I understand the Roma Gothic connection and all that. I've gone to Scandinavia and all that. And I think it's just about the diversity of this world. You know, Africa is somewhere that I need to explore. Though I'm from the continent, I've not really explored it, but I need to do that.
Yes.
I want to cross the North Africa down to the South as well. You know, so traveling for me in those key places make a lot of difference, because for me it's about the people.
It is, yes.
It's about the people. And I think I would like to personally, if I can, and if I've got the opportunity as well, I would like to know what's going on in the royal family. So I would like to also understand and work with the royal family to understand, you know, who they are as a people and everything as well. I would like to, you know, I do fancy one day, you know, being part of the City of London Corporation. You know, it's a great thing. They managed to keep the city as a whole, you know, in a prosperous place as well. So the City of London Corporation someday is something I'm passionate about.
Well, you've just made your pitch.
Yeah.
You just made your pitch for it. Just a plug.
My sponsor, someone I really admire, would be the Lord Mayor in 2023. So,
okay, wonderful. So, there you go.
So, yeah, so it's something I really am passionate about as well.
Fantastic.
The City of London is great. It's a great place to be.
I was just looking at my bookshelf and I was thinking there's a really good book, if you haven't read it yet, called The Prisoners of Geography.
I've got that.
Brilliant book. So, as you talked about people, culture, and movements and you know, understanding regions, I think that's a fantastic book. Okay, well, actually, here's a question. What book did you most recently finish?
Now, let me say this, and I'm not ashamed of it. I don't finish books.
Okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. They're not a project to finish. What I do is that I read chapters.
Yes.
I read chapters. Rachel Wadsworth book, you know, talking about, you know, trust and, you know, who can you trust as well. It's a great, great book as well. You see that some key things. So today, people talk about ethics. People talk about trust, transparency. What does this really mean? And some of these things are quite powerful words that over the years, we've not really found time to deconstruct, to understand why these words are used in a particular way and what do they really mean. So I think Rachel's book, Who Can You Trust, is a great book.
Okay.
But I read chapters. And when things happen, like, for example, you're talking about the prison of geography as well. You know, when the Ukrainian war started, I had to go in there to read it, you know, and you just need to understand the geopolitical, the dimension, economical, why things are happening the way they are. Not necessarily giving an excuse, but having that background knowledge help you to understand what's going on.
Of course it does. We're going to go back in time. If you could go back in time, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Wow. I think just to be patient, just to know that, you know, the future is brighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my 16-year-old self at the moment would tell me today that, wow, how far I've come. Because I'm one of those boys those days, you know, back in the days, people necessarily would not give us the opportunity at all. And I say that with all humility as well. And that's the reason why I always say to young people, you can aspire to inspire as well.
And
you can dream, and you're allowed to dream. So,
yeah.
You know, 16 years then, people would never say, oh, that one is not going to turn out to be anything else. You know, and then, you know, how many years than now, you know, it's totally different. So that's what I would say to myself. You can really, the future is brighter. Hold on and keep
good for you.
What you're doing.
Yep. If you could switch lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
Wow, that's a really great question. That's a really great question. Are you talking about now? Or are you talking about
anytime? It doesn't matter. Anytime. I'm not. No restrictions.
No restrictions. I think there are great people I do admire. But Gandhi is someone I would like to. I would like to understand because at that point in time, the transformation, the change he brought in, you know, and the power of the word as well. Gandhi is someone that we will understand, you know, how I would like to be and just to understand. Mandela is great, no doubt. Yes. But Gandhi, you know, is a force to reckon with.
Yeah. And I know he started most of his sort of political demonstrating or, you know, passive demonstrations in South Africa.
Yeah, which was, and I think for me, I don't know why, it could be, lately I've started telling people in data space that, you know, part of how we deliver data management also is to create opportunity of, within teams where people can obviously participate in activism. What that means is that it could be climate change, it could be environmental, it could be social, it could be governmental, whatever that is. So we need to create spaces for people, our team members, to participate.
Of course.
You know, it could be animals, right, and whatever, you know. And I think when you create that space for people to participate, you then understand what matters to people. And
correct.
You can tap it as what a strength and work with them and drive it. And you guys can deliver the right solution for your customers as well.
No, absolutely agree. If you had to change something in the world right now, what would it be?
Well, I think for me, just the fact that the way we talk about migration and all that, I think it's just is a misnomer, to be honest. The way we talk about it, the way we talk about illegals and all that and all that and all that. I'll say to people, like I said, born in Nigeria, but made in the UK. And trust me, there are thousands of wonderfuls that contribute on a daily basis.
Of course. Absolutely.
You know, and those stories are not heard, but the other stories are the one that is highlighted and take the front page and all that as well. Yeah. And I think that we can share in our diversity. That's so much we can do. So I think that immigration thing, you know, those boundaries that have been created based on colonization, whatever historical stuff prior before colonization, we need to have a rethink. And I think we've got a great opportunity with the internet at the moment.
Yeah, it's we have. Great it's opportunity. Open, so it's let's open up the world for everybody.
Yes, is it? Let's see. Yeah. And let's just make it accessible to other people. We forget there are 40 or 50% or 60% of the world population that is offline.
Yeah.
So they're not connected. Gosh, so we need to bring them online. They need to bring them online, you know. Yeah. And I think that's what it's all about. Technology change behaviors, good or bad, by itself.
Yep. So in, you know, we talked about who you would switch lives with. But if you could, you know, and that was Gandhi, but if you could resurrect one person from history and put them in the world today, would it be Gandhi or would it be somebody else?
Oh, that's a great, great question. I would say, you know, I don't want to get a bit, you know, biblical, spiritual in that because I've got my faith and all that.
That's all right.
But I think, I would say Martin Luther King. And I'll give you the reason why, because, you know, think about America, what's happened the last 10 years as well. You know, sometimes you just wonder, you know, and sometimes it's important for people to reflect back. Look at your home, look at everything. Is everything okay? Is everything okay? But I think Martin Luther King, what he did, what he believed for, is still inspiring people today, you know, and he's a great, great, you know, gigantic person and personality and every other thing else. So Martin Luther King, and I think it's really important for people to understand that, you know, some of the things we deal with, you know, in the last 40, 50 odd years are still there. And you just wonder why, you know. So Martin Luther King for me,
No, I totally agree with that. And there's so many themes you just brought up there, and within my, you know, own interviewing self, I want to delve right into them, but you know, that's for another show. What's the one thing you wish you knew at the age of 19?
Wow. Just to say that, and I'll say this, please don't judge me at all. Just
no.
To say that, you know, there's still pretty face all over the world.
Yep.
Pretty there faces all over the world, and there are good people all over the world.
Yep, agreed.
So don't really paint the world based on your little circumstances.
Yep.
You know, the horizon is quite wider and wider. So that's what I would say to myself. Because I think when you fall in love and you know, it never works out. You're like, oh, my life is end, you know, and all that and all that. But they're still pretty and wonderful human beings all over the world as
True. So if you weren't living in the UK, where would you be living? Would it be back in Nigeria or somewhere else?
Yeah, I think Africa for me, but obviously I'll see myself going through other part of the world. Honestly, I was lucky to be in Dubai last match. Mm-hmm. You know, it was also Middle East. We just saw the Qatar World Cup event as well. Spectacular, you know, spectacular. Everything went really well. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that, you know, people forget I was part of the team that delivered the London 2012 Olympics as well.
I see.
And what that means is that summer 2012, the people of London, some people, not all, didn't give us, you know, they said it's not going to happen. It's going to be chaotic. And people said leaving London for whatever reasons. The summer was so fantastic. It was so successful. Boris was there as well. Shout out to Boris. You know, David Cameron was there as well. And the landscape has changed politically. But we did it. We delivered the Olympics in London. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing that as well. So I think I will be pretty much a globetrotter, you know, going to different places as well. Yeah. Just, you know, experiencing life and culture and people. And
I think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could offer one piece of advice to upcoming data leaders, what would it be?
Wow. Just say your piece. Don't show up. Say your piece. You've got something to say. Say it. Don't think about how people will feel about it. Don't think about what the criticism would look like. Mm. Don't think about that. Just say it. You've got something to say. Mm-hmm. You know, and just show you. And as a thought leader, as a data leader, you know, you never get it right always. But say it, because if not, you're not going to get the feedback from other people as well. So say your piece. Don't show up.
Yep.
Because we're in this place right now, and I say that we need to open it wider for other people to contribute as well. So we don't want the voice to be one specific mainstream.
Sure.
Or one line. We need multiple lines.
You need to have multiple voices in
multiple
this.
Lines. And I say that with all due respect as well, you know, and we can create the party so the party will be rich, because data itself is rich as well. You can data can be rich. So let's make the party rich as well. So if you've got a team, if you're thinking about strategy, if you're thinking about doing anything that has to do with data, make sure that there's diversity, make sure that there's reach, make sure that all source. Think about it and make it happen.
Agreed.
But make sure that you give people opportunity to say their piece.
Yep. Switching tact here. Where was the best vacation you've ever taken?
Wow. I wouldn't necessarily say going back home. You know, when I mean going back home, UK to me is home.
It's something different though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But just hanging out, just going back to chill with my mom.
Yeah.
You know, just sitting in a lounge, you know, just chilling with her. And she just telling me stories as well. Things that I think I knew about, but I never fully understood it.
Correct.
You know, but at the same time, you know, I've been lucky. I've traveled, you know, at least to not all over the world, but I've traveled and I just love, you know, I mean, Europe for me is amazing. It's remarkable. Mm-hmm. The tapestry of history is remarkable.
Yes.
You know, Middle East is remarkable. The tapestry. Yeah. Asia is remarkable. That word I need to even go and explore as well. North America.
Mm-hmm.
The tapestry is remarkable. Mm-hmm. So, So I'm looking to go to those places. So if you want me to come out there, give me a shout, okay? Give me a shout. I'll jump on the plane and come out there.
Oh, you know? Fantastic. Well, you're going to have a flood of emails now, aren't you? Requests.
Please. No, that's okay. That's okay.
So what was the best lesson your parents ever taught you?
A good name is better than silver and gold.
Yeah.
A good name is better than silver and gold. You know, the legacy is real, you know. Yeah. And posterity is something that really, it does happen. It's not a myth at all.
It does.
It's better than see very good. So try as much as possible, you know, to protect that name and make sure that, you know, you value it and then pass it down to generation as well, thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. What's your favorite food?
Rice. Any rice dish. You know, from biryani to name them. Yeah. Also, anything that has rice, right? Trust me, I'm
perfect.
Good.
Perfect.
I'm good. I can even just do nothing without just the white rice.
Yeah. My daughter just loves white rice. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In as much as it's hot, that's okay.
So you talked earlier on when we were talking before we started that you listen to podcasts. So what is your favorite podcast?
Ooh, I've got loads. I'm just going to pull up my I'm just going to pull up my podcast at the moment. I've got loads from, you know, the Turing podcast, I find that really interesting, you know, and rethinking moments as well. You know, I've got the McKenzie podcast as well. Yep. You know, yep. Race at Work is a great podcast. Social Mobility, you know, I'm talking about, you know, Harvard Business Ideals as well is great. Sheffields as well. TED Talks as well. You know, that's also, you know, I can go again and again and again, you know. But those podcasts are really, and I will say to people, I think that's something you can store. Is an artifact that can transcend generation to come. So kudos to you doing this you're doing, because what you're creating is not just for the now, it's for the future. It's so people can hear our voices and relate with us as well. So it's really remarkable. Yeah. So
thank you. Who would you say is your biggest inspiration?
My mom. I would say my mom. Wonderful. And the reason I say that is because my mom was uneducated, absolutely, you know, uneducated based on circumstances.
Yes.
But that never stopped her to inspire us to not just say, hey, education is the pathway.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was a sailor. What that means is that he travels a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
You understand the Nigerian story about when the first quantity of oil, you know, commercial quantity was found because they grew up in that terrain, so they knew the terrain anyway, so it was it was easy for them to be in those spaces working in those sectors. And when he was not there, obviously my mom was the only one,
of course, know, in terms of course she was
shaping us and all that. So just seeing how she had hard work and all that, so and tell people also I'm an Evelyn son, so my mom is Evelyn, and I say that I'm Evelyn son. Is identity. I'm carrying identity.
You are.
My mom inspires me a lot. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for that. Yes. Do you still have stuff, things, belongings from your childhood that you keep with you?
I do. I do. I have pockets of stuff as well. And I was lucky as well. My dad gave me some of his stuff as well.
A nice thing.
I do. So they're quite sentimental. You go back to them. And what I do is that I just take photos of them, some of them, and have them. So, you know, and the great thing with phone now, with the AI built in phone now, is that, you know, it's quite intelligent. It just brings you memories of when you took
it
the
does.
Phone and all You're that. Right. So it, at the year going, those memories can flood in at any point in time as well in your life. So I just take photos and store it, and my phone is the thing that drives
our lives, really, isn't it?
No. It does help me organize my life to a point. Yeah. So I tend to use it, you know, quite intelligently as much as I can. My notes as well is there, you know, and things like that. So
In terms of data then and trends, is there any kind of data trend that you would like to see disappear?
I think just people talking about concepts as well, not talking about the doing. You know, and that's why I say to people, I did a talk called the Demystifying Data Management. I said the three things that you just need to know about data management to help people know their data, help them to trust their data, and help them to use their data confidently. Yeah,
correct.
So concept for me, we should just get out of that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I'm not going to talk about the mesh and the lake and houses and all that.
Yeah.
You know, concept for me, I know it's a way to convey, you know, thoughts and applications and all that. But I think we just need to focus on the fundamentals.
And the actual doing.
Literacy, you know, how can you help someone understand data? You know, what is the data? How can you help them understand data? How can they use it? How they, can they keep it safe, trust it, and use it, know it properly? I think those are the foundational for me.
Brilliant. What's a superpower you wish you had?
Wow. I think just getting people to... not really do what I say, but being able to influence. I think for me, being able to influence people. Because if you're a data leader, you've got to influence loads of people. You're going to go into conversations where people are 20%, you know, they've not really bought into it, 80%, but you need to take them to 80 and 100 as well. So just being able to influence people as a leader, I think that's something. But also being able to deliver through people. Because sometimes you work in places where you don't have the entire budget and you can't have the all resource with you. So you've got to negotiate and getting the resource together and deliver through people as well. So influencing is great, but also that would bring leadership as well. So influence and leadership is something I would like to.
Yep. Looking back on things in your life, is there anything you would have done differently?
That's a great question. Not really, though. And no. the reason I say that is because I think, you know, life itself is just a journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not necessarily a destination, it's a journey. Yeah. So my journey at the moment has been reached and reached as well. And I think it's going to get more reach as well. Mm-hmm. And me doing this podcast right now is the ability to communicate that to other people that will listen to me that have not seen me before, don't know about me, and will not certainly be in my space, but I'm communicating to them. So I think, you know, nothing really. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. Is there a movie, film that has made you laugh really hard?
Some of them. I think with movie for me, like I said, documentary.
Is something I that's why I was thinking. You know that question but, he might kind of be able to answer.
No, but saying that, right? Yeah. I will tell you this.
Yeah.
Grand Design. It's not a movie.
Okay.
But Kevin MacLeod putting Grand Design together.
Yeah.
And seeing how people are trying to build something that will be sustainable for themselves, their family, and their community as well.
Yeah. Yep.
And seeing sometimes the mistakes that they make and everything as well, but getting to that place. So for me, I can watch Grand Design in the beginning, morning.
Yep. Yep.
AM until the PM. Night. I don't know about you, but
I don't watch it.
Seriously, you might not be say, okay, I've got the loads of money to build a house for myself and all that. But just seeing people's story and journey to do things that matter to them. And I think, you know, having a place that a shelter. Over roof over your head, having a meal, you know,
it's
let's
important.
Not take it for granted. Yeah. And that's the reason why we need to keep, you know, campaigning and ensuring right now we're in this place, cost of living is a big, big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are choosing not to heat their homes or their meal. They're making those choices. So we need to ensure that we change that and give people roof over their head.
Yeah. You
know, homelessness is a big, big thing.
Absolutely. It's a big
thing. Even in the UK, across the UK. So
Yeah, no. I like that. If you could, and I think I know the answer to this one, but if you could teach one subject, either in school, college, or university, what would it be?
Emotional intelligence.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I tell you why.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that can unlock.
Yes.
Whatever profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call it the three things. You know, ethos, pathos, and locus. Mm-hmm. Ethos is your acumen, acumen skills. Pathos is about your emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Locus is about your problem solving.
Yeah, abilities.
You can't solve problems, but if you can't connect to people, you're not going to deliver that solution as well. Mm-hmm. You can be good in what you're doing, skillful, tactful, but if you can't connect to people, so emotional intelligence is something that
it's hugely important.
It really is. Strike the right relationship, convey the message, carry the troops together, rally the troops together to deliver what you need to deliver, you know, and you can get the skills, you've got the tools to do it, but connecting with the people,
it's a tough thing.
And for me, emotional intelligence, data is great, but emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And I think you can't deliver data management if you don't have that.
If you don't have it. No, I agree with you there.
Trust me.
Yeah, absolutely. What's a skill you're currently working on mastering?
I think two. One of them is, like I said, delivering true orders.
Yeah.
In the shortest possible time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because budgets are constraints are always going to be there. You know, you've got small amount of money, you're delivering true orders. Great.
Yeah.
The other one for me, I think, is just about making richer connections.
Mm-hmm.
Because society itself is this construct based on different relationship and ladders as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not visible in your eyes, but it's there. And it works. It's like the spider web. So being able to work the spider web as well is something that I would really, really say I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Identifying what they are and how to navigate them. I'm trying to do. I'm putting my energy to do it as well.
Yeah, I think everybody should be doing that as well. What three words best describe your leadership style?
Democratic, open.
Mm-hmm.
And inclusive as well.
Good.
Democratic in the sense that, you know, it's not authoritative. No.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
This yeah, is yeah. it. No, you've got to yeah. listen, engage with people, come to consensus as well.
Of course.
You know, inclusive is really important. Mm-hmm. He's got to be inclusive as well. There's yeah. power in that. That's not a myth. That's not yes. just a byword.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Power huge power.
You know, yeah. open, I think, is great because you've got to be open. You've got to be open to new ways of thinking, mm-hmm. new ways of working, new mm-hmm. information, mm-hmm. you know, how to approach things as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What are currently your top three data challenges?
I think that's a great yeah. question. One of them is lack of money. People say, oh, I want to use data to do this, but yeah. they don't really need to invest.
Yeah.
And you just think that it's like, you have to be a magician to make it happen.
Oh, gosh, no, yeah, I know what you mean. Not. Yeah.
That's one, lack of money. The other yeah. one, I think, is about, you know, people, talents. Yeah. You know, the mm-hmm. talents out there in the markets are quite out of, you know, they go quite fast as well.
Yes, because, they do.
You know, there's a yeah. massive need for that as well, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And I think the other one also is about the messaging.
Yeah.
You know, communicating what is data is about, what data can do. So the mm-hmm. value proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
yeah. Yeah.
You know, the value proposition and why it matters for
yeah.
the guy, the other guy in finance, why it matters sure. for HR, yeah, why yeah. it matters to yeah. operation, why
the value
matters
that it's going to bring. Them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why, yeah. What that is good. Because someone did ask me a question some time ago. It said to me, Abel, we don't need data to put planes in the air. We've been putting planes and taking planes. People
yeah.
from one part to Europe and all that. Yeah. We don't need data yeah. management to do that. And that sure. was a fair challenge, but I yes. had to tell him why we need data. You know, yeah. because that proposition you can build when you understand your customers.
Correct.
You know, you can personalize that proposition. You yep. can do a lot. You know, it's not just taking people from one place to the other. Mm-hmm. It's about the experience. It's about yes. who the people are, what they want, and when yep. they want it. Mm-hmm. So you can do a lot. And having data is one part of that.
Yeah, of that experience. Yeah,
that
yeah.
experience yeah. as well. So yeah. I was able to say why you would need a data management team. But yeah, but as you know, yeah. most data management team are not fully... You know, in terms of money, fully, this is this amount.
Yes.
You know, yeah, call yeah, your yeah. numbers and take it and deliver.
Yeah.
You're always going to say, hey, we're trying to cut 10%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Want oh, you to yeah. do the same. So, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So, what is something that recently moved you?
I think it's just saying, for me personally, though, it's in, when was that? That was part of the Black History Month in October last year.
Mm-hmm.
And just the end of the month, I did, mm-hmm. I was one of the keynote speakers for what they call the Scottish Black Talent.
Okay.
And they gave me a topic to talk about that Black mm-hmm. talent is not hard to find.
Right, right.
And I was in this room, it's not my normal stuff, but over like 300-400 people.
Yeah,
you know, Black talent all over from Scotland coming together for that event. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I spoke to about 60, 70 odd or 80 odd people and the help that they needed as well and the guidance that they need as well. It really moved me. It really moved me because these are people that are highly educated,
yeah,
quite agile, you know, really wanting to contribute, but not understanding sometimes, finding it difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. So it really did move me. And I think...
Yeah.
You know, my employer as well and other people, when I talk to people, is that we just need to try and create the pipeline for this sort of people to come in
and
contribute. Because once they come in, they will do a great job.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. What's one thing you had to learn the hard way?
Politics.
Yeah. You're always learning that one.
You're always learning
stops.
That one.
That never
stops. But it never goes. It never goes away.
It
but
never
I think
goes
you just,
away.
You just need to understand... Yeah.
How to navigate it.
How to navigate it. Yeah. How to use it, how to navigate it,
yeah.
you know, how to streamline it, you know, and all the rest of them. So yeah, politics, the big, the small, you know.
Yep.
They do influence our lives as well, just like technology.
Oh yes. Absolutely. What's something you notice about someone when you first meet them?
I think for me it's the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I studied HR, so organizational behavior, human behavior is something that we post as well. So the warmth, genuine people, you will feel it quickly because we're quite relational. We're quite social, you know, being as people. So the warmth as well. So whatever you do, you know, sometimes things can be difficult, no doubt. You know, people going through different things, you know,
of course,
and all that. Yeah. But when you come into people, just like you're dialing into a room in meeting as well, you know, you can... one or 2 minutes, guys. That's, I'm not feeling it today. I just want everyone to know, you know. Yeah. So I'm going to listen today, but I won't contribute much. But just be open, transparent. Yeah. But the warmth as well, it's something that really matters. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. So my final question to you, Abel, what would you like to be remembered for?
Just that guy that came and saw and made a difference. Not conquer.
Good. Yeah.
We're not conquering nothing at all. That just made a difference. So it's not like I came and saw and conquer. No, that's primitive.
Yes.
I came, I saw, and I made a difference.
Good.
And wonderful. I think that's something,
Yeah. And it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, Abel.
Same here.
I've really enjoyed it. There's so much we could have talked about. But as I said, I think we'll save that for season 3. So, Abel Abo, thank you. And I wish you the best of today and, you know, the rest of it. And a wonderful weekend.
So much. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having
pleasure.
Me. And I'm a big fan. And you influenced me and inspired me as well. So thanks for this opportunity.
Wonderful.
And for all the listeners, thank you. And if you've got any feedback for me, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well. I'm open there, Abel Abo.
Yeah.
And yeah, just reach out to me and let's collaborate and make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abel.